maybe to record this time. It's February the 12th, 2012, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church, our 11 o'clock service. And we're going to continue in Psalm, but I do want to, just by way of review, because Psalm points out many of the same things that we've talked about in the armor of God and Ephesians 6, 18, but you can turn to Psalm 119. That's where we'll take up just where we left off at the last service. But you remember the armor of God, because a lot of that same things are focused throughout the Scriptures, but especially in Psalm 119. It's the reason that I chose to go there and teach through Psalm 119 until we finish 176 verses of it. But I don't want you to forget Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 concerning the armor of God with your loins girt about with truth. You'll be amazed at how many people have no idea what that means. And if you will learn that, if you'll hide it in your heart, in your mind, it will give you some understanding about what you are to do every morning when you get up. I'm going to guess that the greatest hindrance to people studying the Word of God is that they do not believe, or they do not have respect, they do not have faith in God. They don't realize that He is the Creator of everything that there is, and that He rules and reigns over all creation. He gives every man every breath that he takes, and He can remove it at any moment. You only draw one more breath because of the grace of God, and no other reason. And that breath can be removed. So we don't have an appreciation, we don't have an awe of the mighty God, and we don't believe that this is truly His Word. I'm saying for the most part, for most people, if they did believe that, they would read it, they would learn it, they would study it, they would live by it. It would be the most important thing in their lives. They would get up early enough in the morning to read and study the Word and to pray to God to have mercy on them during the day and to protect them and to help them, to fill them with His presence, to have His grace wrapped around them that they might not sin against Him. They would do that automatically if they understood and believed that this is the living Word of the true and the living Almighty God. They don't believe it. Therefore, they don't read it. They don't adhere to it. Because if they believe that, they would. Who wouldn't? What believer do you know that don't have time to get up 15 minutes early? Or 30? Or an hour early? That he might spend time with God in communion with Him before he starts his day. What's more important? About your family. I can't imagine getting up every morning and not praying for my family. Lord, watch over my wife and my children today. I depend upon Him. I trust in Him to watch over my wife and my children, my grandchildren, church folks. And I call you by name. He's very important to me. You're the flock that God has given me. It is my responsibility to watch over you, to pray for you, to encourage you, to tell you the truth, to teach you, and to lead you. It's my responsibility, and I cannot do that if I don't get up every morning and commune with God and pray and ask His for mercy like David did in Psalm 119. Our loins being girt about with truth is our mind being bound by the Word of God, filled with the Word of God. We're not going to go over all of these in great detail. took us several Sundays to preach that, but just as a way of refreshment to remind you that your loins girt about with truth is the same as the midsection of a soldier. It's the center of everything. It's where everything is accessible, and that's your mind in the spiritual body, in the mind, soul, and the spirit of a man that makes up the inner man. It's your mind girt about with truth. This is the Word of God, and that's what your mind's to be bound with, the Word of God, every day, at all times. And your breastplate of righteousness that covers your heart. It's what the breastplate does, and it's the breastplate of the righteousness of Christ that protects our heart so that we are careful to love God and the things of God. And so in the mornings when we pray, just like David did in Psalm 119, he prayed, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Well, that's what he was praying for. Lord, cause me to love thy ways. Cause me to love thy word. Direct my steps, Lord, so that they going to your word, to your commandments. Your breastplate of righteousness covering your heart so that you love God, you love the things of God, and you hate the things that God hates. I know modern-day preachers don't think you ought to hate anything. God hates a liar. The Bible says they're going to have their part in the eternal lake of fire. I despise a liar. Don't want to tell any kind of a fib or even close to one, because all liars have their part in the lake of fire. I don't want no part to do with the lake of fire. God hates, in Psalm 5, the workers of iniquity, he hates. So is it okay for me to hate? Sure it is. Hate the things that God hates. I hate iniquity and sin, the evil that's in me, the evil that's in the world, my tainted and filthy flesh. Despise those things, and I want to do those things that are right. So guard your heart and make sure that you love the things that you're supposed to love. You love God. You love His Word. You love His righteousness and His grace and His mercy that He has upon you. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet carry your body wherever it wants to go. Well, in the Spirit, what directs your body or what directs your soul, what directs you as the whole spirit, soul, and body, spiritually, what directs the direction you go in? It's your conscience. It's your will. And so your feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is your will or your conscience being shed with the gospel of peace. Well, what is the gospel of peace? Well, we know what the gospel of peace is. When you do the things that God commands in His Word, this is the gospel. It's all the gospel. When you do the things that God commands you, it gives you a great peace. You'll have such peace about life and about the things that are happening around you. I don't care if it's great tragedy and turmoil. You'll still be in peace because you know God's in control. And that gives you... But when you're out there wandering, you're living in sin, or you're sinning on a daily basis, and you're doing things that you ought not to do, and you know you're not, and you're happy with those, you're not bothered by those things, there is no peace. It ain't nothing but torment. For a believer, that's torment. It's not peace. So our feet, or our will, our conscience, shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that we have great peace about all that we do. The shield of faith, of course, is the faith that is a gift from God that we carry with us. They named the first three because the shield of faith, these other three won't do any good without faith. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You must have faith. So what the gentleman that I talked with this week in my office was about faith. He wanted to know about faith. I said, well, it's a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You can't muster it up. You can't make yourself believe. He said, well, Isn't God required to give everybody faith? Even the question sounded stupid, didn't it? You know, the Bible says avoid unlearned questions. I didn't avoid him because he was sincere. But God's not required to do anything. He is righteous and holy in all that he does. And the Bible says that he is the potter. We are the clay. He does with us as he chooses and as he pleases. Some he makes vessels of honor and some vessels of dishonor. He can cast us away or he can keep us. We are his to do with as he pleases. So, faith in the Word of God and faith in God is a gift. And it grows. And we pray that way in the mornings when we get up. Don't you pray for more faith? Don't you want more faith? Don't you want to believe without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt at all, that the Word of God is the truth, that heaven is real, that the promises of God are right and true and will be fulfilled? I have no doubt about that. Not one. When we sang the song earlier about must Jesus bear the cross alone, I know those promises of God are true. I'm going to heaven. I'll grab a crown and I'll lay that crown at the feet of Jesus. That's where it belongs. I don't deserve it, but he does. And the reason those things bring tears to my eyes, and the reason I'm so emotional from time to time, most of the time, when I talk about the promises of God, is because I know they're real. I'm not hoping. I'm not wishing. I know. That's the faith that comes from God. And it grows in a person. And I pray for it to grow. Now, when you pray for your faith to grow, the trying of your faith is not always pleasant. The trying of your faith brings trials. Trials are difficult. The Bible says he puts us through the fire to consume the dross, the waste, the things that are not pure, but to refine the gold. So with cleansing and with faith growing comes trials and putting you through the fire. And that's always hot. But we grow from it and we learn and we become stronger and we can begin to walk on the water. Not physically. You can try it, but I imagine you're going to just get deeper and deeper as you go, but maybe you will. But you learn to walk on the water with the Lord. You learn to walk in peace, and nothing can stop your faith from continuing to grow and to believe the Word of God is true, no matter what happens. Nothing bothers me. Nothing's shocking to me, as long as I know God is real and God is true and he's in control of everything that happens. I'm taking the shield of faith. The helmet of salvation is my confidence in my salvation. That is the helmet of salvation. It's my confidence and hope in the assurance that I am going to heaven and that the promises of God are true. It is the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You must take it with you. Not physically, but I do. I physically take it with me everywhere I go. I have to have it. I read it. I study it. I want to read it to other people every opportunity that I have. And I want to be able to memorize and remember as much as I can. And I don't want to forget it. So I take it with me physically. But what it means is taking the sword of the Spirit in your heart, like David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The reason that David hid the word of God in his heart was so that he might do his will and might not sin against him. So I take the sword of the Spirit and then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's called the all verse, because it has all in it so many times. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's like not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That's like thou shalt not lie. It is a commandment of God, all of these things. But it's more than a commandment. It's our armor that we do battle with. Now, Psalm 119 carries on that same thinking when David is understanding and expressing his understanding of how weak that he is and his need of the grace of God to keep him from falling, to keep him from going off to the right or going off to the left, but that keeps him in the way. And that's what he prays. He prays it in verse 8. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Don't leave me. And then he prays again in verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. In a believer's life, he does not want to be disobedient. In a believer's life, he cringes at the thought of disobeying God in any way. Not just committing a sin, but omitting to do those things that we're supposed to do. Like putting on the whole armor of God in the morning when you wake up. Praying for all the saints with all prayer and supplication. For all saints. Everywhere. They need our prayers. Those in Sudan that are being killed because a bunch of Muslims hate them. And Muslims rule and reign in Sudan and kill Christians there. And all over the world. And we need to pray for them and uplift them. And preachers that are all over the world preaching the gospel, the truth of God's word. To pray for them, to lift them up. And then verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's very important to David to understand the reason that he studies and reads and prays for God to reveal himself to him through his word. How do you think God reveals himself to you? I know there's knuckleheads today that says, oh, just live in the spirit. Ooh. You do it through the word. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy word. It's through the word of God that we are cleansed. It's through the word of God that we commune with God. We don't know how to commune with God except for his word. You start getting in trouble when you hear people say, well, the Lord told me. Or the Lord showed me, and it's contrary to what the book says. Throw it out the window. Rack him up as a nut. He's listening to voices in his head. He's looney tune. The Word of God is our guide. It is by the Word of God that He cleanses us. It's by the Word of God that He sanctifies us. It is by the Word of God that He grows us and matures us. It is by the Word of God that we know what not to do, and we know what to do by the Word of God. The heathens can't know that. They can read it from the front to the back, and they still won't know what to do. It must be revealed by God as you read His Word, as you hunger and thirst after Him. A man can't put a hungering and a thirsting in himself for God. God does that. It's like a man having faith. A man can't just have faith. God gives him faith. Like Paul on the road to Damascus, he wasn't looking for God. He was actually running from Him. The Bible says, a man hits the ground running from God and speaking lies. But he was running from Him even more than that. He could hear Stephen preaching. He could still hear Stephen preaching. When they were stoning him to death, and Stephen said, lo, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. Paul could still hear it. And Jesus said, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. How long do you reckon it was from the times Paul all heard Stephen preach the gospel until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he was jabbing him. He was jabbing him. Every time he heard Stephen in his mind preaching the gospel, telling them about Jesus. And they stoned him to death. You see, you may think that was a terrible tragedy. It was used for a prick in Paul's heart. And it brought him to Jesus. Even though he didn't know it, he had no idea. Until Jesus revealed himself to him. And that's the way it works. So a man doesn't have faith. It's given to him by faith. He doesn't just have it. And so it's through that faith that we learn the Word of God and we believe the Word of God and He reveals Himself to us and we believe it without a doubt. A common man, a lost man, would read this and say, well, that just don't... He'll go over and read Genesis and he'll try to reason it out and he said, well, no, it just couldn't happen that way. There's no way. The Big Bang Theory. It just didn't happen. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and the earth was out form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. They don't believe that. I can't help but believe it. I know it to be true. And they'll make up every kind of excuse, and they'll try to give you every scientific thing that they can think of. I don't care what they say. I know this is the Word of God and it is the truth. I depend upon it. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. David understood. First he praises God as we ought to always do. When we get up in the morning, first thing we do is blessed be Thy name, O Lord. Praise Thy holy name, O God. Thou art a blessed God. You've allowed me to wake up this morning. I took every breath during the night while I was asleep. And I'm still alive today. Thank you, Lord. I give you all the praise. And that's what David's doing here. He's giving him... He's not blessing the Lord. He's praising the Lord by saying, Thou art blessed, O God. You are a blessing to every human that walks the face of the earth. Because they're still breathing. It's a good way to answer people when they ask you in the store, how are you doing? Better than I deserve. I'm still above the ground and I'm breathing. And that's better than I deserve. It's a good opener of conversations with folks. Because they don't understand what you're talking about. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. David understands that it doesn't matter how much he reads them. He cannot understand them except God revealed Himself to them. God must reveal Himself to people. I don't care how much they read the Scriptures, they'll never know Him. Paul knew the Scriptures front and back. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was very educated in the Word of God. Didn't know God one iota. Had no idea who he was, what he was. Cursed at the name of Jesus. Beat, imprisoned, and even assisted in the killing of Christians. He didn't know the Son nor the Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. They are the same. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. And the Spirit. They're all the same. Teach me thy statutes. In my inner man, I can read them and I can know them in my head, notionally, up here, I can know them, but I don't understand them unless God reveals them to me. And you'll be amazed. And let me tell you something. Every time God reveals His truth to you, it's like you've got a whole new Bible. You can start reading it all again. Because now you know something. Inwardly, spiritually, that you didn't know before. Now you've got that knowledge to deal with as you read again the Holy Scriptures. It's a living Word. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I... I'm in verse 13, by the way. I don't know if I told you. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. With my lips, he didn't just read them. He didn't just hide them in his heart. But he told the world, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. This is the word of God. And he proclaimed them. He declared them. Isn't that what he says? I have declared them. It's a wonderful way to put the gospel. People say the gospel is offered. People say the gospel is this. The Bible says we are to declare the gospel. We declare the will of God. We profess it. We tell people what the will of God is, what the Word of God is. It is our responsibility. Just like I told you earlier, you can go right back to Isaiah 26 and 6, I think it was. I'll have to look there. Isaiah. No, that wasn't right. 9. Isaiah 26 and 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. They cannot know what's right and wrong if you don't tell them. You're not being ugly or mean to tell them what the Word of God says. You're being very gracious. You're being very kind. You don't have to just tell them when you see them doing something wrong, so as though you were correcting them, which as far as I'm concerned, that's fine too. And so, hey, the Bible says, I tell people often. I tell people very often. That all liars have their part in the lake of fire. I want them to know. I want them to know. If they're a continuous liar, if they're a repetitive liar, they're going to have their part in the lake of fire. The Bible says all liars will. All thieves will. And murderers, adulterers, idolaters, they're all going to hell. Believers are not those things. Do believers sin? Well, sure they do. They still have a vile, filthy flesh that they live in. You can read Romans, the 7th chapter, and see how Paul talks about his flesh and the battle that's going on inside him every day between the flesh and the spirit. Flesh trying to get him to sin, the spirit telling him not. That battle goes on, and it'll go on to the day you die. That's the reason we guard our heart with the armor of God. And we guard our will. We guard our mind. We do the things that we're supposed to do. At our very best, we still fail. At our very best, we still fail. It's only by His grace that He keeps us and holds us up. So you see the importance of telling people. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. They'll learn what's right and what's wrong. They will not know if you don't tell them. You must declare these things to the world. They think that, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. And whatever's right is what a person sees as right and wrong. That's not true. That's what the politicians in Washington think. Look what they've done. God decided what was right a long time ago. And me and you can't change that. He decided what's wrong a long time ago. And we don't change that. God has set the straight way straight, and He's made the crooked way crooked. And we don't change that. We just say, yes, Lord. And agree. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. Turn with me now to Acts, the 20th chapter. And let's find another man of God like David who declares the same thing. Acts chapter 20. Verse 27. Acts chapter 20. This is Paul meeting with the elders from Ephesus when he was about to go to Jerusalem, and they were going to capture him there. And this is where he tells the brethren and the women and children that came with them to meet with Paul, that I'll see your face no more. He says, verse 26, he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul said he was pure or clean or clear from the blood of all men, for I have not failed to, there's that word again, declare the whole, to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All that he knew of the counsel or the wisdom or the will of God, he declared it to the people. Didn't matter who they were or where they were from or what they were doing. Paul would declare the counsel or the will of God to them. And David says the same thing. Thy word about, blessed art thou, Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Or that could be translated more than all riches. Or as much as worldly people value wealth and riches. David says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. That's another word for the Word of God. I have rejoiced in the ways of the Word of God more than the world loves riches. And you know how the world loves riches. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as, and you see that's not in the original, it's in italics in your scriptures if you've got it so. In all riches, or more than in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts. Another word for the word of God or for commandments. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. David says, Lord, I'll think about, I'll dwell on in my mind your commandments. Your word. It is very important what you allow to go in here. What you allow to go in here. I don't listen to the radio. Watch very little TV. I still like to watch some old westerns. That's about the only clean thing that I still see, and they're full of evil themselves. Any of this music that you hear playing today, or as far as even gospel music, I get so mad I have to repent just listening to that trash. Because it's unscriptural. I can't listen to the words of it and maintain my thinking on the Word of God. If you just listen to some of those words, it's important what you let go in. But David says, I will meditate in thy precepts or in thy word and have respect unto thy ways. I'll do what I'm supposed to do, God. I'll meditate on your word. What is he saying? The same thing that we talked about in putting on the armor of God. Have your loins of your mind, 1 Peter says. Same thing it says in Ephesians 6. The loins of your mind girt about with truth. David says the same thing here. Turn to Jeremiah. Just turn over a few pages to the right there. To Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 6. Jeremiah, chapter 6. Pappy knows this verse. He used it in one of his teachings one day. Thus saith the Lord. I like that. I like the way they said that in the Old Testament. When the old prophet said, thus saith the Lord, men trembled. When they would see the old prophets coming, they would run and hide because they dreaded to hear the word, thus saith the Lord. Because it usually meant judgment was about to come upon them. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. It's like people today, churchgoers, I call them, modern day churchgoers. They don't want any restrictions. They don't want any commandments. They don't want any, I have to do this and I have to do that. They don't want any of that. All they want to do is accept Jesus, their personal Savior, and go about their pleasing themselves every day with everything that they do. Trying to gain more wealth, trying to gain more riches, the lust of the flesh being fulfilled with all the things that they do every day, the lust of the eyes being fulfilled, can't ever get enough, and the pride of life are all evil things, and that's what people look for. But the Lord said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. People hear me talk and they say, what kind of church y'all go to? What kind of church are y'all? Baptist. Ain't never a Baptist I heard of. You know, that's because you hadn't been around to some of the old-timey Baptists. I said, we preach the same thing that they preached when they started the Southern Baptists. We preach the same thing that John Bunyan preached. We preach the same thing that Charles Spurgeon preached. We preach the same thing that the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter preached. We're preaching the old paths. Because there is the good way. Because that's where the good way is. And walk therein. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Who are you going to ask? The Lord! David said, oh Lord! Don't forsake me. Direct my steps. Don't let me go in the right way or the left way. You keep me in your way, O God. Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What I tell you about walking in the Scriptures brought you peace. If you'll walk according to the Word of God, if you will be obedient, you say, well, preacher, I try, and I just can't. I fail every time. I try to do what's right. I try to do what's good, and then lust people make me mad and then I cuss and that happens all of from time to time, don't it? All kind of things happen and I fail. What are you going to do? Throw up your hand and say, I quit. Then where are you going? Your demise is certain if you do that. Don't put your hand to the plow and turn back. Your demise is certain. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're going to get up and go again. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're going to get up and go again. You're going to fail. And you're going to fall. And you're going to get up and go again. What's going to happen from that? What happens when you do that? You get so sick and tired of falling and failing. You just, you get to where you hate it. And the more you hate it, the less you're going to fall. Sort of like a youngin learning to walk. Little peewee back there. He gets tired of falling. He finally figures out how to stand. And before long, he'll figure out how to take a step without falling. Because he'll hate falling. And he'll finally figure out how to do it. And you keep doing it. You keep praying. You keep asking for the old paths. You keep asking for the good ways. You keep going to the throne of grace in frustration because you failed, pleading with the Father to have mercy and to increase your faith because He is in control of everything that's happened to you. Even the trials, even the fire that you're going through, it is for your good. You see, He's building soldiers. He's building men. He's building women that can resist and that can stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith. He's building soldiers that will not fail, that will not fall. But that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of falls. And that takes a lot of fire to go through. So we learn through those things. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. It was important. David understood. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will delight myself in thy commandments, in thy word. I'll delight in those things. And I do. You say, well, preacher, I don't. I want to, but I just don't. I want to delight in them. I want to keep them. But I don't. Things distract me. And I like watching evil things on TV. You better quit liking them. You better guard your heart. You better guard your mind. You better put on the whole armor of God. Am I telling you that you can't turn on the idiot tube? No, I'm not. Is that going to send you to hell? No, it's not. Is it going to cause you to have many a fall? Yes, it will. Because it's going to distract you. You're putting garbage up there instead of the Word of God. I will delight myself in thy statutes. You continue to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, cause me to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I remember praying that same thing, and I still pray that same thing. We're flesh and blood. We have a vile, filthy flesh that was born in sin, that was conceived in iniquity. Our desire is to go away from God. It's in us to do so. Turn to Romans chapter 7. I know my time's up, but I don't have no time. Brother Randy said I wasn't on no clock. Just preach the truth. Turn to Romans 7. Well, I don't have time to read all this. You can start reading it about verse 7 when you have opportunity. But I'm going to start at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. This is Paul, the apostle. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. In other words, it's not my spiritual man doing it. It's my fleshly man that's doing it. Is that an excuse? No. What did he say do? What does the Bible? Mortify therefore the deeds of the flesh. What does that mean, mortify? Put them to death. Stop doing them. It's not easy. It's a battle. It's a struggle. But remember where we're headed. We're headed to a place where there's no sin. Do you think that it's just going to automatically turn you from a murdering, lying, thieving, no good, stinking heathen? What do you think this journey is all about? Why do you think we're going through this pilgrimage going to heaven? Why do you think we fight the trials and the tribulations and the devil and try to live according to the Word of God. I think that our faith is weak to begin with, but as we grow, as we strengthen, it gets stronger, and our confidence becomes greater, and our sin becomes less. Now then is no more I, but sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. It's not in my flesh. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Does that sound sort of like you? Boy, stuff that I don't want to do, that I find myself doing. And the stuff I want to do, I don't do. So I got a will to do what's right, but my stinking flesh is always getting in the way. So what do I do about it? Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I already read that. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's a law, he said. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. You say, oh, you mean it's okay to do that? You better read the next verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the way we are to walk. Yes, the sin is always there. It dwells within us. But guess what? We're overcomers. We overcome that. And it's not easy, folks. I know it's not. But it is commanded of us. We will do it. God's people will keep on keeping on. We will persevere. Isn't that what He said in the Scriptures? We will persevere. We'll keep doing it. We'll keep falling and we'll keep getting up and going towards the cross. We'll keep getting up every morning, going before the throne of grace, saying, help me, O Lord. Remove not thyself utterly from me. Direct my steps, O God, and keep me. Guard my heart, guard my mind, guard my will. Cause my will to be for thee and my heart to love thee. And thee alone, not the things of the world. Psalm 119 is a wonderful psalm. You can never get tired of reading it over and over again. We'll stop there for today. We'll take up there next Lord's Day, the Lord willing.